Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Warning. This episode contains details that some listeners may find disturbing. September 1968. Two teenagers are lounging on a dock, looking over Lake Champlain. The night is still, no breeze, no insects, just a gentle lap of water. Suddenly, a distant light appears in the sky, then it approaches the teens, and as it nears, the light splits into three separate lights, and one hovers right over the teenagers. Their hearts stop. What happened next is Vermont's most famous alien abduction claim, and yet, it's one of many. That's right, Vermont has long been a hotbed of UFO sightings, and tonight we look at some of the most fascinating experiences from the Green Mountain State. So what exactly are Vermonters seeing in the sky? This is a study of strange. Just go with the flow. You'll figure out what to do. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Michael May. And today we're talking UFOs, a subject I'm always interested to learn more about. And joining me is my son, Hollison.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
So can you tell everybody how old you are?
I am 9 now.
9. So the reason we're doing this episode with a 9-year-old is a few months ago, you were like, I want to be on the show again and talk about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you want to talk about UFOs?
I don't know. Because like right after I did that first episode with you, I was just like, I want to do another one. So yeah.
Well, good. For people that are new to the show, Hollison was on a Bigfoot episode a while back, but I am curious, before I get into the main story tonight, I'm going to talk about a few sightings from Vermont, and there's a reason why I wanted to talk about Vermont. Can you guess what that is?
Not really, actually.
Well, it's because we, even though we live in California, we have a connection to Vermont. We have some grandparents of yours that live there. And we go pretty much every year. And so it's a place you know quite well. It's a place we both love. Like, we were just there this summer. Like, what are some of the things we did in Vermont?
Oh, we swam in the river that's there. And then I got a leech on myself. And then it was horrible. And then, yeah.
Yeah, we had a dramatic leech moment the first time I've ever been around a leech, and it got stuck to Hollison and tried to have dinner, but it was okay. We made it. We survived. But Vermont is a beautiful place, and I teased in the intro to this episode, Hollison, you didn't get to hear this, but I teased probably the most famous Vermont UFO story. It's called the Buff Ledge Abduction. I will get to that story at the end of this episode, but first I want to share just some other smaller stories and some history about UFO sightings in Vermont. What do you know about the size of Vermont?
I mean, not really anything. Like, I don't know its square meters or whatever.
No, and you don't need to. I don't either.
Yeah.
But if you compare the size of Vermont to other states, how does it compare?
Well, it's pretty small compared to other states like Texas or, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Vermont is a very tiny, tiny state. However, according to a lot of studies and reports, it's actually one of the biggest places in terms of UFO sightings in the country. Like, there's a lot of UFO sightings in the Vermont area, which is just surprising because of how teeny tiny it is. What is your favorite night when we go to Vermont in the summertime? What do we do?
Well, when we just sit outside, we make s'mores, we'll look at the stars and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's one of Hollison's favorite nights of the year and mine. We stay up. We look at the stars. We have an app that sort of guides us onto what stars are what. We've seen the International Space Station fly overhead a few times. And also, Hollison's grandfather is an astronomer. So that comes in handy trying to understand what we're looking at and what's up in the stars. Now, I'm a bit of a skeptic to UFOs. That means, like, I don't necessarily believe other beings are coming to visit us. What are your thoughts in your 9-year-old brain? Do you think aliens are visiting Earth?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily, because like the whole world and, you know, all of space is a very giant area, whatever.
It's big. It's so big.
And so I was like, there could be another planet way out there we don't know of that could have other life forms on it. That yeah. possibly could be trying to visit Earth or just stumble upon Earth and stop there, you know.
Absolutely. No, I feel like you and I might believe the same thing, which is I believe that there's life out there. I think the cosmos is far too big for us to be the only life, but I don't think they're necessarily visiting us because for a lot of different reasons. But it is interesting to think about, and I do think people see a lot of things that they don't understand in the sky.
Yeah.
Including scientists, including people that are way smarter about these things than you or I. There's a lot of things that are unanswered, and that's part of the fun. So here, I'm going to give a little history to UFO sightings in Vermont. I'm going to start with one of the earliest ones that comes up, and yeah, I'll just dive into it. Before Roswell, before the great space race of the last century, before Area 51 was a thing, there was July 2nd, 1907. It was a Tuesday in Burlington, Vermont, which is the largest city in the state, and electric lights had only recently been put into the main streets in town. And at approximately 8:30 p.m., three prominent men were walking near the corner of College and Church Streets. One of them was former Vermont Governor Urban A. Woodbury, a man who some would say was your perfect UFO witness because he had a lot of credibility and he doesn't really experience flights of fancy is probably a good way to describe him. And he had served as a lieutenant colonel during the Civil War. He had lost an arm in battle. He was mayor of Burlington at one point before leading the entire state. And he was alongside Reverend John Michaud, who was bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Burlington, and A.A. Buell, who was a well-known businessman in town. All three men had finished their dinner and they were walking down the street when suddenly there was an explosion from the sky. They looked up and they saw a strange, bright light floating about 300 feet above them, and Michaud described it as torpedo-shaped. And here's a quote from a local paper. He said, "In size, it was about 6 feet long by 8 inches in diameter. The shell or covering having a dark appearance with here and there tongues of fire from spots on the surface resembling red-hot burnished copper. Then the strange object was gone." The bishop later said that it wasn't a meteor, it wasn't a shooting star, because he had seen those before and this was different. To be clear, it moved fast and the whole experience lasted probably seconds. So, that was 1907, over 100 years ago, before the idea of even a flying saucer was in anybody's brains and they saw this strange thing. I have some theories about what this is. I've covered it before on my Bennington Triangle episode. It is a story I've covered there, so I have some thoughts on it. But yeah, what are your first reaction to hearing that story?
I mean, I don't really know. Like, a bright light above them. Like, their eyes just could be tricking them or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
Who knows? It's a star or something that...
who knows is kind of the big question.
Maybe
there,
some sort of rocket was up there that exploded, and then their Ooh. Eyes were tricking them that a star was, like, literally 300 yeah. feet above them.
But
like,
here's the interesting thing about the rocket theory, Hollison, is that year, 1907, is the year that we first flew a plane. So there were no rockets that we made, because the Wright brothers had, I think only a few months before this, if I have my dates correct in my head, had flown the first plane. So I don't think it would have been a rocket, but I think you're right. We don't know. And it's so long ago now that it's really hard to even come up with a sort of a valuable theory. However, here's what I think it was. I don't think it was a UFO. I mean, it's a UFO, meaning it's unidentified. But I don't think it was a spaceship of some kind or a drone of some kind from a distant planet. I think it was ball lightning. So ball lightning, I'll show you some videos later, Hollison, and listeners, you should look this up because it's so cool. But ball lightning is a rare and unexplained atmospheric phenomenon. It's described as being bright, spherical. It appears during thunderstorms or weather leading up to thunderstorms, and it typically ranges in size from like a coin to several meters in diameter, and its color can vary from white to yellow to orange to red, even blue, and it's often reported to float or hover before gradually disappearing or going out with a bang. And it looks super, like it looks fake when you see ball lightning. I've never seen it. It's super rare, but I've seen videos of it. And I do think because it can have a bang and they heard an explosion, which made them look up and see this thing because of the size, because it hovered, I think ball lightning is a really good theory for what this strange thing in the sky was. But there was no follow-up. There's no investigation. There's no government inquiry into what this could have been. I mean, this world simply wasn't equipped yet to investigate strange objects in the sky. So if we flash forward half a century, the flying saucer era starts in the 1940s. And during that time, though, some people in Vermont still saw some strange things in the sky. And these are just really quick little examples. In Barre, Vermont, people saw strange lights one night. I think it was 1941. Farmers in Shaftesbury, Vermont claimed to see spinning stars descending behind the barns in the 1930s. A high school janitor in Montpellier saw something strange floating in the sky that was in the shape of a square and lit up in 1941. And then in 1947, we start using the term flying saucers. And the whole country had this flying saucer craze where millions of people were seeing flying saucers everywhere. And that's because in 1947, a man named Kenneth Arnold saw these strange objects in the sky when he was flying in Washington. He described them as like saucers skipping. And that's where the term flying saucer came from. I've covered his story on this series before. It's a really fascinating thing, but it shows you this sort of mass hysteria that started where suddenly people saw flying saucers everywhere in the middle of last century, including in Vermont. In 1947, a Mrs. Albert Steele saw a flying saucer in Rutland. In 1958, farmer Lamond Bavotte saw light in the woods in his home near East Fairfield. And allegedly, this area has many unidentified flying saucers over the years. And I'm just giving those as small examples that people are seeing things in Vermont, because there's even more. All right, I just threw a lot at you, Hollison. Do you have any questions or comments so far?
I mean, not really. Like, I'm not sure what those things that people are seeing are going to be like.
That's kind of the whole point, is no one really knows what they are. I'm going to jump ahead now some years to 1968. And this is the main story I was going to tell you, probably the most famous UFO story in Vermont. It is the Buff Ledge abduction. And I will give you a warning, Hollison. This story's kind of scary.
All right.
He just gave me a smirk and a nod. Do you know what the term abduction means?
I mean, I think it means like, I'm not sure, kidnapping maybe.
No, that's kind of right. In fact, I think I would probably describe it the same way. So there are a lot of stories. You may not have come across these yet in your young life, but there are a lot of people that claim to have been abducted by aliens, taken up on spaceships and things like that. It's very frightening, obviously. And this is one of those stories. So, all right, you ready to hear it?
Yep.
In August of 1968, Michael Lapp, a 16-year-old, and Janet Cornell, who was 19, were sitting on a dock overlooking Lake Champlain in Colchester, Vermont. They both worked at the Buff Ledge Summer Camp for Girls, which was a wonderful camp that I read about online that is sadly now closed. There's many comments online of people that went to camp there that loved it and talk about their grand time at the camp over the years. Anyway, it was around 8 p.m. on this night, and all the other campers and counselors had gone to a swim meet in nearby Burlington, Vermont. But for Michael and Janet, this was when their lives changed forever. Across the lake, in the distance, a bright light appeared in the sky, a big bright light. and it was flying unlike anything they had ever seen, and it started to come towards them. Then it split into multiple lights. One of these lights flew close to them. It went down into the water of the lake, and then it came back out of the water and reappeared in the air, and it approached the dock. On top of the craft was a transparent dome, like a rounded window, and Michael said that he saw little alien guys inside the window, kind of looking at him. And he comments that he communicated with them telepathically. Do you know what that means, like communicating with your brain?
No.
So instead of like talking out loud verbally like you and I are, it would be like, I can talk to you just by thinking. That's kind of, so he's talking to him telepathically. And then the craft pointed a bright beam of light at the two of them on the dock. And then strangely, poof. It's suddenly they hear the campers returning from the swim meet, and it was 9 o'clock. Almost a whole hour had just disappeared in a second, and the ship was gone. So later, a man named Walter Webb interviewed Michael and Janet and investigated this report, and this is years later. And here's where it gets super scary. Michael and Janet, under hypnosis, claim to remember more, and they share these stories with Walter Webb. And they say that they had been pulled into that beam of light from the dock into the hovering UFO. And they remembered being transported to a larger ship at what appeared to be a great distance from the Earth. And Michael remembered seeing other humans on this ship. Before then, they returned back to the dock and the camper showed up immediately after they had been dropped back off. So it's like the aliens picked them up, studied them on this ship, and did something to them to try to make them like forget the experience, and then brought them back down to the dock about an hour later.
All right, so they're scientists?
Yeah, the aliens? Yeah.
I mean,
think about it, right? Like, if aliens are going to other planets, that's kind of who's going to go, or scientists. They're going to be studying these other life. It's what we would do. We would send scientists out. Now, I will point out skeptically, meaning I don't really believe these stories all the time. Not necessarily. I believe people telling the story, but I don't believe what they think happened actually happened. That's sort of my skeptical side of this, but I try to be open-minded. This event happened a handful of years after a story called the Betty and Barney Hill story, which happened near Vermont. It happened in New Hampshire. It's a very famous UFO story of abduction. And so I think this was sort of in the air. People around town had kind of known this story. They had heard about it. And the Betty and Barney Hill story, the thing I love about it is a lot of what they describe, they had seen on TV. And it sort of subconsciously sort of impacted what they think happened to them is actually just something they saw on television. And I think Michael and Janet could have, this is my skeptical side, done something similar where years later, subconsciously, they sort of took ideas they saw on TV or had read about. But who knows? Maybe it was real. Do you think they were abducted by aliens, Allison?
I mean, I wouldn't know what to think. I don't think they were, but like, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, Allison, the answer of I don't know is kind of the most astute, smart thing to say with these stories, because people, we don't know. And that's what makes UFO stories so interesting. And I tend to not like when people think they do know. There's a lot of people out there that think they know everything about UFOs and UAPs and aliens and what's going on. And I tend to really not believe those people, because I think the smartest of us can't understand necessarily what's happening. And whether it's some sort of psychological event or if intelligent life is visiting the planet, we can't comprehend that technology yet. Like, if you asked me when I was your age what an iPhone was, like if you went back in time and you try to show me an iPhone, it would take me years to wrap my head around what that is, because that technology is so far advanced from what I knew playing the original Nintendo back then to now. What kind of technology do you think will be around when you're my age?
I think iPads will be holograms.
Yeah. What about video games?
I think video games in the future are just going to be... I think they're going to be, like, insanely realistic, and probably all of them are going to be built with AI.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? In 20 years, AI could take over the world.
That's the fear. That is the fear. So when you hear this story of these kids, because they're all teenagers, by the way, everybody, Allison is typing messages to me in the messaging system on the recording platform as we've been recording here today. And the latest one just says, oh, P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P. So that's what I'm dealing with as a host. So when you hear the story of the Buff Ledge abduction, is that scary? Like, are you going to be thinking about that later to think back?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, good for you. I think that would scare me a little bit. I will not show you a movie called Fire in the Sky, which is about an alien abduction. And that is a terrifying, scary movie. I don't even think I want to watch it. And I'm an adult who loves scary movies.
Yeah, you are.
I don't think I'm going to show that to you. All right. So that's the main story I wanted to share with you, Allison. But before we go, tell me about what you know about UFOs, because you have had an interest in UFOs over the last few years. But I feel like most of your knowledge is probably from some YouTube stuff and video games. But I'd love to hear about a younger person's perspective on UFOs. Like, where are you learning about these things from?
I mean, YouTube, video games, whatever.
Right. And what do you see? So tell me about some stuff you see that's intriguing to you about this.
I don't really see that much because, like, there's not any really, like, real footage of, like, a UFO sighting that I'd be able to find.
Right. I think you've seen some because you and I have seen some over the years. You may just not remember.
Yeah, I probably don't. I can tell what ChatGPT made or
I think
whatever image.
But if you could talk to an alien that's visiting, let's say you go outside and you see this bright light in the sky and it comes towards you and you're frozen with fear, and then a door opens, or actually I'll relate it to the Buff Ledge incident here. You see through a window an alien, and the alien and you talk telepathically to each other. What do you want to learn? What do you want to ask this alien?
I would be like, punch me if you're real. He's like, I could be dreaming. Like, who knows?
Is there another way that you can find out if you're dreaming, just not to be punched?
I would just slap myself, honestly. Okay.
All right. But what would you ask him? Because you could learn
something. I would ask him, like, I don't know. I'd just say, like, give me some tech that you have, you know?
So you're not inquisitive is what you're saying. You don't want to learn. You just want some fun tech.
I mean, I couldn't really think of something I'd ask an alien.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, give me some of your tech that I can show my friends. Like,
what about where are you from?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where are you from? Are there other planets with life that you've visited?
Yeah.
These kind of things. What do you
think? I mean, honestly, if it was real, and then like, say I didn't, like, record it or something, you know, and I'm telling all my friends, like, oh my God, I saw aliens, whatever, they're going to not believe me. So, I would have to take a recording, and I'm not sure what they're going to think of me whipping out a phone or something.
Yeah. Do you think you just ask them, can I take a selfie for the gram with you?
I don't think they know what the gram is.
That may be true. So what do you think a UFO looks like in real life?
I mean, I see, I don't think it would look like what people think it is. I don't think, because what people think it is, a round object, like a round object that has like a round window on it. Like, I don't really think it would be that. I think it would be some sort of spaceship you would see in Star Wars or something like that. That's what I think.
Yeah. I think that's pretty smart. There's a story that I just read about yesterday or the day before. There's a Harvard scientist that talked about this very distant object that's coming from outside of our solar system and headed towards our solar system, and it's traveling very quickly. And there's some sort of thing, I'm sure your grandfather could tell us about how they measure these things and all the science they look at to try to figure out what this object is.
Are you sure that it's not the Andromeda Galaxy? Because that is moving towards us. Yeah. So, like,
that's a good point. But no, it's not a whole galaxy.
It is moving fast.
It's not a whole galaxy. It's just an object. So it's much smaller than the Andromeda Galaxy. And I think they say it's the size of Manhattan. So the size of part of New York City. And it's coming towards us very quickly. And apparently there's something about it that there's a report now that some scientists believe that this could be an intelligent craft. So it doesn't mean it's full of aliens. It could just be like a drone, like something like a science experiment sending out to study distant planets and things. But they think that it could be made by an intelligent species and headed in our direction. And I forget when they say it will actually like come near us, but it's not for some time. But that's a really interesting idea. And those are scientists. That's not, you know, some kooky weirdo on the street corner yelling about aliens. That's scientists talking about something headed towards our solar system that could have been made by an intelligent species. Or it might not. It could just be a giant rock. But
it could be space junk that is somehow getting, like, maybe the sun is reflecting off of it, bouncing it to, like... It could be that, or it could just be maybe like a giant meteor or something.
Yeah. All right. Last question for you. What would make you believe in aliens visiting Earth? What would you have to see to make you accept that UFOs are real?
I would honestly be like, because if it's just floating around the sky, like, I would think it's just the International Space Station or something. I would think it's a satellite or whatever. And, like, but the thing I would have to, like, prove that it's real is, like, if it actually came, landed, opened, like, whatever hatch it has and stuff, and then I actually saw it, like, that's what I would think, you know.
Yeah.
What it would be.
What about some giant flying object that doesn't look like planes or jets or rockets, and it flies around, it has a bunch of weird lights on it, and then it starts playing music while it flashes lights? Would you think that's alien?
See, it could be a drone. Mm. And maybe my eyes are tricking me, making the drone look bigger than it actually is. Because a drone is not that big. Like, it's maybe a little bit bigger than a laptop. And so, like, and yeah, so my eyes could be tricking me or something. Or someone just built a giant drone and it has a speaker attached to it playing music.
Right. So you want to see alien. You want to see an alien get out and say, hey, what's up? You want
to
see.
And of course, after that, a whole experience, I'm going to slap myself to make sure I'm not dreaming.
Would you be scared?
I mean, if they start, like, shooting laser guns at me, then I would potentially be scared. But honestly, like, I don't think they know, like, punching or whatever. I don't think they can even really punch, because, like, who knows? They could have two fingers, one finger even.
Yeah, they might just be like
none.
A blob of jello.
They couldn't even have arms.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
They could be little globs, like.
Yeah.
At which you can just kick like a soccer ball, like.
Yeah.
I would say what I would do is if they were like us with like two hands or whatever, what I would do is I would like go up to the first one. I don't know if I could choke him or not, but I would just find some way to kill this thing. I'd find some way to grab whatever weapon he's using and then I'd just use it against them and whatever.
So you're saying you would do that if they had a weapon?
Yeah, if they're just chilling.
Then
I'm just going to befriend them.
Like, okay, good. I just want to make sure you're not, you know, attack first and ask questions later. Okay, good, good. Because you never know. They could just be, like you said, scientists. They might just be scientists here being like, hey, we're learning about the universe. They aren't necessarily coming.
Like, it could be some alien group from distant galaxies or whatever that just is like crash landing here or something.
They might just be flying by looking for something else and stop in like stopping at a, you know, a 7-Eleven on a road trip. All right. So here's a final thought. And that is that at some point, if you're outside, you're looking up into the sky and there's something dancing around that you don't quite understand. It's unidentified, some kind of anomalous object up there. And when you see that glow and you see it up there, what is the story that you are projecting onto it? Because I think that is what mostly happens with these sightings, is we individually put our own thoughts onto these things that we don't understand to try to answer them, because there's just a lot that we don't know.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm leaving. Anything else, Allison, before we go?
Not really.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for doing this. I'm glad you brought up that you wanted to talk about UFOs. It is a subject I am still not super smart about in this genre of show, so I am learning, and it is very intriguing to learn more. And listeners, if you want to hear more about the Buff Ledge abduction, there is a lot more to that story. If you want me to do a deep dive, part of my deep dive would also be to research the writer that investigated the story. And if you're interested in that, send me a message at astudyofstrange@gmail.com. Let me know, and I will put that on the schedule somewhere. In the meantime, the summer is almost done, and I'll get to some regularly scheduled programming. Thank you again, Hollison, and I'll see you in minutes.
Yeah. Bye.
You've just listened to A Study of Strange. Consider helping us keep the lantern lit, illuminating the unexplained, by subscribing to our Substack. Just head to the support tab at astudyofstrange.com. There you'll find bonus content and early access to episodes. Until next time, stay curious and stay strange.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.